mind.
Talking tonight about Jesus, and did he use profanity?
Did he get mad?
Yeah, he did, and I believe he used profanity when he called Herod a fox, and that's why I'm trying to establish that I don't think that using certain profanity curse words are
necessary. Bad?
Well, it's not like a mortal curse. I think that, like, we've actually done a episode on curse words, and we're saying that curse words are almost kind of like projecting a curse, like, out around you when you use a curse word.
Yeah.
Like when you say shit or fuck or,
yeah,
you know, it's like, it's a curse word where it's a negative connotation.
But it has so much, it feels so good to use it.
Yeah, and so, and that's the problem, you know, but is it really that bad? In the sense of, like, how God views it. Because if Jesus is using profanity when he calls Herod a fox, you go tell that fox that he can suck it.
Well,
basically, it's what Jesus says.
Yeah, well, to me, they're just words, man. They're just words. So, it really only matters what you.
Yeah, and that's why I feel, essentially what I'm saying is that a lot of people would say that, oh, you, to be a Christian, you can't use any profanity.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Jesus didn't use profanity. You shouldn't. Jesus was pure. He didn't use any profanity. So if you use profanity, you can't really be a Christian.
Little do they know
that Jesus himself was using what I believe to be the word fuck, essentially, for our times, because the old English word for fox was, in my opinion, a couple hundred years ago when this was written, in the time of King James and Francis Bacon, Shakespeare, that, you know, this was a terminology derogatorily used. So it was depicting Jesus as using a derogatory term. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like a couple hundred years ago, the term fox has morphed into our modern day form as what?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I believe that we can establish the fact that Jesus did use profanity. And then when we look at another scripture, we see that Jesus flipped the tables over in the synagogue when people were buying and selling in the synagogue on the Sabbath.
It gives me an awesome idea for a shirt.
What?
It just says, Jesus said fuck.
Well, that's pretty strong way of conveying this potential truth.
It's funny, though, that word didn't exist when the Bible was written, so.
But throughout all the eras of time, since these scriptures were translated, it was always looked upon as some kind of derogatory terminology, and now in modern day form, it's gone from fox a couple hundred years back in the time of King James to fuck. It's now morphed into fuck when who knows what it was back in Hebrew, back in the time of Christ, when, you know, this was translated and stuff.
Yeah.
These scriptures, you know, these gospels of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, but it's something to ponder anyway, you know, and what, you know, we think about it and, you know, how we perceive it, you know, like in our day and age.
There's also the Hebrew translation.
Yeah, what it was. Yeah, in Hebrew. Yeah, that would be interesting. Well, actually, no, because the New Testament was translated from Greek.
Oh.
Actually. So it wouldn't actually be... I mean, we could translate the Greek into Hebrew, I guess, but... pretty sure that all the New Testament was a Greek, and all the Old Testament was Hebrew. So... I don't know, people actually know that. And that's why you get people calling God Jehovah. Because Jehovah is the Greek word for Yahweh. Yahweh is God's name, the Father's name in Hebrew. Yahweh. So, but I just think that when Jesus was in the synagogue, flipping those tables over... I think that that, to me, was like a sign that, he was probably using some profanity that time, too, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
Flipping tables, you don't just flip tables over and not be like, you motherfucker. You're just doing something, just raging out, you know what
go
I mean?
Nuts.
Yeah, it's like, you can't not go nuts like that. Like, what it's depicting in the scriptures of what Jesus did, standing his ground for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And not be able to say that there wasn't some kind of, you know, curse word involved in it. I don't think so.
Jesus said fuck.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he was probably saying fuck this, fuck you, fuck that.
What?
While he's flipping them tables over in the synagogue too. I hate to say it. Yeah, you can beg to differ, but I feel like there's evidence.
Man, if someone who's experienced some major persecution and suffering,
yeah,
I can respect where Jesus was, where he came from, what happened to him, it's just everything lines up.
Yep. I think so too. And I think our interpretation is correct. You know, I think that this is, and that's why I don't feel that using profanity is a mortal sin. I don't think that it's a form of uncleanliness at all. I think that, like you're saying, it's to be limited, you know?
Yeah.
We want to limit it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to be just every single word is something like that. But I think that it's just to use a little bit here and there is normal.
Probably not gonna get you banished to hell.
No, I think people that use a little bit of profanity here and there, I think are going to be allowed into the gates. I think if their heart's right and they're trying to keep the commandments of God, hold the testimony of Jesus, I think that that's going to be acceptable. Now, however, people using God's name in vain, now that's a different subject altogether.
Yeah, what about?
Because that's a commandment, and it says, thou shalt not take that name. That is a curse word right there, dude. Like, and you and I both, hold that commandment in high regard, because you and I both don't take the Lord's name in vain. You'll never hear us on this podcast take God's name in vain.
No.
So it's clean in that sense.
Always.
Yeah. And that's what we want to emphasize here. But other ones, shit, fuck, asshole. Yeah, stuff like that, like, that's just whatever, you know, like, keep it, like South Park says, you should only use, use profanity words sparingly, or unless it's really funny or something.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, something along those lines.
Unless it's really funny.
Yep. Yeah, so with that said, I think we'll maybe transition to a new topic. We were talking, wanted to kind of bring that to light about the profanity, because we have said in previous podcasts, we're talking about how we believe that, you know, saying curse words could be cursing the air, or, you know, the ether. It's sending a ripple effect out of negativity.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's all these people constantly sending these curse words out, these negative projections.
Vibes
could be detrimental to our well-being as a whole, as a collective whole, because we're all interconnected through the air. You see?
Yeah.
The air that we breathe and the ether air. And that is really what we want to transition to now.
Uh-huh.
Is that this is how we're all interconnected, because there's the collective unconscious and the collective consciousness of us all. And that's all, I feel, related to what the Apostle Paul has to say in the New Testament when he's talking about Jesus coming back. He says that when Jesus comes back, we're all going to be caught up in the clouds. The ones who are of God and the ones who are not are all going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And this air is, I feel, the same thing that Verizon is talking about when they talk about us ruling the air. When Verizon came out, one of their first marketing slogans was "Rule the Air." Some people will remember that who were alive maybe 10 or 15 years ago. So I think it's the same air, and that, you know, really this air we're all interconnected to. The when you look up the word air in the Bible, in the concordance, and what it means and everything, you'll see that it's talking about this lower atmospheric region. And I believe that this lower atmospheric region is this ether that we're all interconnected to. That we all have, like, potential connections. We can connect through anybody through the ether. Because there's a connection there.
It's omnipotent.
Yeah, it is, dude. It really is. And we're all interconnected to it. And that's why people... That's why you see certain fads popping up in one part of the earth and in another part of the earth clear across the globe, because it's the air. It's something that is like coming through the air.
Yeah.
You know, that's being created through the air, and it's sending vibrations all throughout the lower atmospheric region of the ether.
I don't think the speed limit travels either.
I think it could be in the... It could travel in the blink of a hat, just like a cell phone connection from a phone call. It's a twinkling of an eye, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like an instant, instantaneous.
Yeah.
We don't know the capability and interconnectedness of the air or the ether. But one thing that we do know is that technology is interconnected to the air. Verizon makes that statement. And so does the Apostle Paul. So I believe religion and science are merging here, and they're bringing us into potentially like the coming of Christ, dude. Because like what we were talking about earlier, you know?
Maybe.
I like what you had to say. Do you remember what you had to say?
What?
That, like, when Jesus comes back, like, everybody's screen on their Ethernet device is going to turn black.
Yeah. And they come back as Jesus' face.
Well, what it really, I think, would be, it would be like an emergency, you know, sometimes how you get those emergency things on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, from like the president or whatever. I got one from like when Donald Trump was president for the coronavirus or something. I think it was, or I don't know what it was, but yeah, it's like this stuff is kind of like what I feel would happen. It would be something along those lines, like a almost like a national emergency type bulletin, like where it does the you know what I mean? You hear that? That's what it would be, like coming through your cell phone. It would go black, and then it would make that noise, and then we interrupt this broadcast for an emergency.
Lord Jesus.
But this is really what I believe the technology is, you know, it's
evolving to
for this moment, dude. That's why it's taken like so long for Jesus to come back potentially, is because like we need to get to the point where the air and technology were like being able to be used to
project. Jesus gonna come back to America.
We really don't know, man. Just we don't know where he's gonna come, the day he's gonna come, or anything.
Well, to me, I would think Israel would be where Jesus would go first.
I don't know if Jesus could go to Israel because of all the turmoil there. That's I would think that, like, well, it says that he's, I think, supposed to come there. His feet are going to touch the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split in two or something like that. Yeah. In the Zechariah scripture.
So, I mean, it's not hopeless for them. They do have the coming of Christ to deal with. To look forward to.
But then you have the Mormon version too, where it says that Jesus is coming back to America. Yeah. And it says America's going to be in a civil war at the time when Jesus comes back. It's funny because when you try to talk to Mormons about this belief, they really don't want to talk about it either.
Well,
it's like, why don't they want to discuss this more? It's like, America's in a civil war right now, dude.
To me, we're headed more towards a war because the right and the left, I think, are the two sides, and they're so divided right now.
Yeah, and that's the Civil War, and that's why Jesus comes back to America at the time of the Civil War. See, a lot of people thought, oh, the Civil War was... back at the time of the Civil War in the 1800s, is like, and Jesus didn't come back. But no, it's like, I believe it was talking about for this Civil War in this era.
Yeah.
Because now we have the technology factor.
Yeah. When his face can be in your face.
Yeah, when you can literally see him like lightning shining from east to west. Like, we're talking about these fads and these things traveling through the collective unconscious of the lower atmospheric region of the ether, the air. You know, it's like they can travel like the, like a call from America to Europe. You know what I mean? It's like instantaneous. You know what I mean? It's like lightning bolt traveling from east to west. That's what it's going to be when Jesus comes back, dude. And the whole world is going to have their devices. They're going to see him.
And there's not going to be a bunch of debating on what it was.
No, there's not going to be, because the it's not even going to be about Jesus' presence so much as it's going to be about the Holy Spirit, God, and his Holy Spirit conveying to the world, like, this is Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be so much the news reports or anything. It's going to be people's overall, like, understanding in their fucking soul and spirit.
You want to please me? Be like him, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep. But I know this is something that we've talked about before on other podcasts, but I feel needs to be reiterated. Because I think that we really are seeing some things line up, and we're not trying to be out of line or out of perspective on how we're trying to promote this kind of stuff, because I feel this is valid. This is valid understanding here.
Uh-huh.
And see, the thing is Christians, you know, would like to make you think that the idea of Thessalonians is Christians starting to levitate literally into the clouds, into the heavens, you know what I mean? To meet Jesus, because he's going to be in the clouds, you know? He's gonna come like a UFO in the sky, and then all the Christians are going to start levitating up. You know how retarded that sounds? Like, no offense, but like deranged in the mind, like literally.
I just picture a scene from like a Stephen King movie.
Yeah, there's some kind of Hollywood.
Just people were floating off.
Floating up into the clouds. But the thing is, it couldn't be further from the truth, I'm afraid. Yeah. And literally, Christians are believing that this is going to happen. Yeah. And that they're waiting to just get caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, where the clouds is talking about multitudes of people. Just like in Revelation, the sea is talking about multitudes of people. These are like kind of code words almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like...
We're decoded.
Yeah, and the real crux of the matter here is the word air in the scripture. Like, the dead in Christ will rise first. I believe that's 144,000. And then, like, we who are still alive, the Christians who are, like, alive at this time too, along with the clouds, everybody else, the masses, are going to be caught up, connected through the air to see Jesus. That's what I believe. To see Jesus on, like we're talking about, on that screen. You know what I mean? Everybody's going to see him on the screen through the air. Because we're all ruling the air with our technological devices. You know what I mean? So to speak.
And I think potentially there could be billions of people in front of the screen at one time.
What's that?
I think there could be billions of people in front of the screen.
Seeing it at once?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, most definitely. That's totally plausible, dude. Yeah. Yeah, and this is really what I believe this scripture that in Thessalonians and the New Testament of the Bible is really talking about. It's talking about the era of technology, the age of the industrial age, the world wars, Israel becoming a state. This era, dude.
One thing I don't think God can do is make everybody see that at once.
I don't think that's possible. Yeah, but the idea of the...
The one thing I can do... this promise is so fun. That's what I relate to.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but that's not the point. The point is the technological factor here. The air is what's going to make this, I believe, this scripture way more plausible and way more realistic in a literal sense, realistically speaking, you know what I mean? As opposed to people levitating, like you said, like a Stephen King movie, into the clouds of the sky and disappearing into nothingness.
Yeah.
That, to me, is like taking the scripture way too literally when the scripture is more of a... It's more symbolic. It's more... You have to study it. You have to pray about it to understand it, and then... Yeah, really, I just believe the scripture is for the last days anyway. It's only for the people who are living in the last days to understand anyway.
Yeah.
All the people who lived before and died, it really doesn't apply to them.
Yeah.
It's what the scripture meant. Because right. It's for the last days when Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
For that era.
It's for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that once again, the technology is the component we're looking for here that says that, yeah, this is... Because it's not going to change, dude. The technology isn't going to go away and die. You know, it's here to stay till the time Jesus comes back.
I wonder what people are going to do once Jesus is back. Does that mean, like, all business halts?
Yeah, it does. Because it says Babylon is, like, destroyed. Because when Jesus comes back, it's not even about Jesus. Jesus is the one that just declares through him roaring. This is what's funny. It says when he comes back, he's going to roar like a lion.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like when he roars, it's like he proclaims the wrath of God, the Father. It's about God's wrath and judgment on the wicked than it is about Jesus, really.
I picture the movie begin before movie starts. Where it's like, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da, and they have the big cat that's gonna roar.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That cat reminds me
the roaring, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, but to see the thing is that you got people like Katy Perry. Like, she's roaring too. Remember her song? You're gonna hear me roar. So the enemy is roaring as well. They're trying to do like a pseudo roar to Jesus' roaring. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Me and the competition.
Trying, yeah. They're the rivals. They're the enemy. We are the opposition.
There needs to be resistance for everything.
It really does. And you know, we actually stopped the podcast rather than we're talking about this. And we felt like it was kind of maybe detrimental to us, but I really felt like I didn't have anything really positive to say when Joe Biden became president.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like, oh, this is exactly what we were talking about before the Democrats got into power here in our country.
We're being duped.
It really is. It's a duped. It's what it is, dude. We really are. And I was just like, I didn't even really want a podcast, dude, because I was just like, you know what? I'd rather, like, just say nothing than talk a bunch of smack to a bunch of scoundrels.
Yeah, but I'm not the handicapped to consider our voice.
Yeah, and Riley kept telling me, he's like, man, like, there needs to be an opposition.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right, dude.
Uh-huh. I would.
You're right. And I was just like, that's why I decided to, it's like, you know what? We need to get out there and get after it. And that's really what we've been doing.
At least keep our podcast going.
Well, because like you said, it's our voice, you know? We need to keep our voice heard. Because we are the opposition.
We need to do something.
Yeah, and we are doing something. We got a billboard right now. Right next to a college. Here in our city here. Yeah. And we're trying to do what we can. You know? To be the resistance. And I think it's good.
I think there'll be certain benefactors to being anti.
Yeah, I mean, to not go with the flow of the status quo is definitely
It's harder
to do, but if you can do it, more power to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing, you know? It's like, yeah. It's like, we probably don't have as much as some people do in views, but it's because we're going against the grain. You know, we're trying to raise awareness to something that, you know, you're gonna say something?
And we're not going with the grain.
Cliche.
We're not trying to
being trendy or.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's.
We're not trying to. Touch on the latest trends.
Yeah, and this is what we've been doing since the beginning of our podcast, you know, and I feel what makes us more valid is that we're, you know, going against the grain and have been, and I believe, been right since our inception.
We've been on track, too,
we've been on track.
Most part.
Yeah, I feel like we have been, and just like, we need to continue to keep being a voice out there. Because I think that we've got, like, stuff to offer and stuff, so we need to continue to keep grinding it out.
ANC resistance.
We are the opposition.
anti-resistance without the opposition. That was physical on the billboard too.
The new billboard will have that one. Have that slogan, "We are the resistance."
But we're not.
We're like, we are the opposition and the resistance. Or what?
We're the resistance and the
opposition. Oh, excuse me. Different phrasing of the terminology, yes. It's good, though. It's definitely. Yeah. There's definitely multiple kinds of. We'll see how beneficial the billboard is. We've got 3 months of it being up. We're going to see how it helps us. The funny thing is about all of this that I was bringing to light to Riley that I wanted to talk about was that it seems like every time that Riley and I have tried to force ourselves, you know, into more, into an area where we could get more recognition or something, it's backfired. And when we do nothing, we prosper. What's up with that? What's up with that?
It's to keep us, to keep our desire high.
Yeah, and humble.
Yeah.
Because if we, like, sold out and tried to be promoted on a mass scale or something, it would be a cost for that, I feel like. But if we just let things naturally progress and don't try to be egotistical about it and don't try to, like, build our brand or our podcast, it's going to come. If you build it, they will come. It's like, that's all we need to do. We just need to build it, build the podcast, and they will come. As opposed to, like, building it and then trying to promote it, trying to force something that isn't supposed to happen yet or something.
Yeah.
So it's a puzzle.
I see all these podcasts nowadays on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
They're not consistent, though.
Yeah.
Consistent? They're all over the place.
Yep. Well, and that's like people like with businesses nowadays too, where it's like they only want to be open at certain times. Yeah. They don't want to be open like a normal store hours used to be, you know what I mean? They want to make their own hours for when they want to work.
Yeah. It's
the same kind of thing with the podcasting, I feel like.
The only people who really stick to the old schedule and open and close at when you're supposed to.
Yeah.
It's the Wizards.
Yeah.
8 to 11.
Yeah.
8 in the morning to 11 at night.
And the funny thing is, when I was in the weed business, they literally, like, people who, when they got their welfare checks, the first place they would go is to the weed stores.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get free weed.
Free weed?
Basically, yeah, for their welfare money.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, it just goes to show you what's important to people.
It really does. Yeah.
I mean, they're not at the grocery store dropping $100, then the weed store dropping $100.
Well, and there's some staggering statistics in the newspaper that I saw on the front page talking about here in Washington State about the fact that weed sales exceed bread and milk in stores.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, like, the main food ingredients that you would think people would want to have around, you know, to eat and stuff. No, people want weed more than that. That's why people who are on welfare take their welfare checks the moment they get them and go to the weed stores. Uh-huh. And literally, the weed stores are orientated to cater to the welfare people, dude. You're in Washington State. It's hilarious, dude.
Open 8 to 11, 20... No, not
20. Some of them are probably 20...
7 days a week.
7 days a week. Are any of our weed stores open 24 hours a day? I don't think we have, actually.
No, but I bet we'll see that.
At some point in time in the near future, huh?
Yeah. I bet you anything.
Me too. I don't disagree with you. Oh, yeah, I know, dude. It's funny, dude.
They'll probably do good.
No, I mean, dude, marijuana sales have exceeded anything, dude. We've talked about this before, the marijuana sales living in Washington State. I mean, literally, we live in Spokane. Spokane County itself, like, produces a mass amount of marijuana and sells a mass amount of marijuana. I think maybe even more than Seattle, dude.
Yeah.
Like, we literally have better sales here in Spokane than we do in Seattle, dude.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
And so, if we were the first, along with Denver, Spokane and Denver, really, I mean, I feel, are the biggest, were like the biggest hotbeds of legal marijuana sales in history.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So,
I just don't get why it doesn't get legalized federally. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows what's up with that, but...
I mean, what kind of government sees marijuana get legalized in certain states and pay off big time, and they're not interested still?
I don't know, man. That's an interesting question you have to ask them.
I'm just thinking really in a simplistic way.
There's a lot of places that have legalized marijuana, too, in the United States now.
Yeah, all across the country.
Yeah.
Arkansas, Oklahoma, Washington, D.C.
Yep.
Florida.
Yeah. A lot of places, a lot of states. We were the first here.
Yeah. First to legalize it recreationally.
Well, legally, yeah. I mean, the recreationally is the legally.
Yeah.
Is the legally.
Is the what? The legally.
The legally. Drinking, tonight's episode is sponsored by Hopworks Bomba Winter Ales Seasonals.
I like the art. Mm-hmm. Abominable horror in the mouth.
Yeah, we got Hopworks Urban Brewery up here in the Pacific Northwest. We have enjoyed their products.
Do we ever? They make a good beer.
Yep. Yeah, I believe they're based out of Portland. Portland, Oregon. Yep, Portland, Oregon.
They don't have a shit clue how to vote down there, but they can make beer.
Yep. Yeah, and that's why we are the resistance. We are the opposition. Gotta bring it, man. See, the thing is like, the funny thing is about this is, like, the Democrats expect the resistance to be on the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the resistance, but now a new resistance is rising. Oh, that's even a good title for a podcast. A new resistance is rising.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep, I like that too. We're back.
Hello. Hello.
Just hanging out here?
Uh-huh.
Just busted off a nice 25-minute podcast. Feel pretty good about that?
Yeah, kind of ready for the next segment.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that is that. We are the opposition. Or were we talking about that last time? Yeah, we were talking about that last time.
Uh-huh.
We are the resistance.
Let it stop.
But not French. Nope. Wild West Cowboys here. Drinking our saloon ales.
Our mead.
Winter ales.
Winter mead.
Abominables.
In the video game I play the dragon game.
Yeah.
You can use mead and life force.
Beer?
Yeah.
Nice.
We can raid places and steal their beer.
I really think that there's definite health benefits to the consumption of ales, mead, beers, whatever you want to call it, and marijuana. And I think that if you continue to keep using these substances in, like, normal consumption, I think it's actually beneficial for your health. However, if you stop...
Abuse.
Yeah, if you abuse or stop prematurely, like out of nowhere in the midst of doing this, I think it could have detrimental side effects.
Well, yeah, if you... That goes with anything. Either you don't do it enough, or you do too much. The trick is finding that balance.
Well, yeah, finding the balance, but I think also, like, if you have been using for years and years and years, like, regularly, and you all of a sudden, like...
Using what?
Anything. Like, an intoxicating substance. Any kind of intoxicating substance. And you just automatically just stop cold turkey out of nowhere, I think it could potentially be harmful to your health. Where it could, like, trigger your body into, like, oh, dude, like, shock. And yeah. It could be detrimental, like...
Like, if I just stop weed all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, somebody, like, drinking alcohol or, you know... See, it's like, you stop drinking alcohol to a degree, but yet you still are continuing to...
A little bit
here and there. So it's like, it wasn't a total cold turkey cutoff, yeah. You know? And I think that's really what you don't want to do something like that. But I think that if you continue to keep using, I think, on a normal kind of schedule, I think it's actually, like, beneficial to the health to do something like that.
Yeah.
Because my grandma, she smoked cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
From like 1975 to like 2020, dude.
Uh-huh.
Or something like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
She was like 100 years old.
Yeah.
It was just a regular, she's regularly did the same thing over and again with cigarettes.
Yeah.
And the usage of cigarettes and stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't hamper her life,
uh-huh.
you know, or her age when she passed.
My grandma was like 87 when she died. She smoked like a pack a day.
Yeah, see, it's just she was just keeping with that. Once again, she was keeping with the same cycle. And probably her death had nothing to do probably with her cigarette consumption. It was probably something else.
I don't remember what it was.
I doubt it had anything to do with her cigarettes. You know, it's probably something else. Some kind of cancer or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do.
Trying to bring certain things to light. Trying to bring truth to light.
This is a third beer.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
We're going kind of hard tonight. Some high velocity. Brewski's here. But drinking them over a period of time. We're not getting too intoxicated too quickly. Just having fun. Just got a couple brews here.
Not pounding them or anything.
No. But we're kind of celebrating a little bit. It's almost Hanukkah here.
It reminds me of growing up and always pounding beers.
Yeah? Well, it's a quick way of getting intoxicated.
I am not about that anymore, and I can't believe it got by as long as I did.
Yeah.
Because I always felt like if I was in a bad enough wreck, I would just die. So I didn't wear my seatbelt and look what happens. I'm brain injured instead of death. But maybe it wasn't supposed to die ever.
No, see, I don't think you're brain injured because you're... brain works fine, really, for the most part.
Uh-huh.
It's your physical body is still recovering from that.
We're just connected to our brain.
Yeah, but ultimately, you'd rather have your brain functioning properly than the rest of your physical body.
I guess.
Yeah, your druthers.
Well, if I had a perfectly functional body, and I'm just a dumbass, then I don't want that either.
Yeah, so in a way, you have something to build upon still. You have an opportunity to continue to keep pushing yourself. Your physical body. Your mind, you know, can help push your physical body, hopefully, towards wholeness. Slowly, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what we need to hope for.
And for that pray for, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's what we need to keep just kind of pushing you towards. It's like little steps forward here and there. You know? you don't know what can happen. You know, it's like when you take little incremental steps.
I'm really waiting for the day that someone calls and they can give me treatment for what I have. Mm-hmm.
You never know, man. I mean, the whole situation medically today, a lot of stuff is set coming to light, you know, on like advanced treatments and stuff.
Yeah.
We really don't know, dude. We really don't know. That's why you can't. Right now, there's all kinds of possibilities right now. You know, we've been talking about that on the episode here, and it's a revolutionary time.
Biblical times.
Biblical times of biblical proportions.
Prophetic.
Yes. Prophetic, yes. I mean, we can't limit anything. You know, we gotta have open minds, open hearts. And, yeah.
Because the end, that finish line is drawing near.
Yeah. And faith, too. Faith is another thing. Yeah. Gotta have lots of faith. Gotta be able to believe in that. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to be faced with that it's going to need faith.
Gotta have a solid faith.
Yeah, all of us, each one of us have faith, but not faith in God, just faith in God but and Jesus, but faith in miracles and stuff of that nature. You know, stuff that defies logic, and we gotta have the ability to believe in that kind of stuff too. That's faith as well. And we need to emphasize that too. And that's going to your situation with, you know, believing that you're gonna be able to walk.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you need to have faith to believe in that.
Yeah, I do. I lose the faith and I'm just losing myself.
Yeah, you're falling into a state of decay almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't do that. Yeah. I mean, we're all like, have issues, areas where we need to exercise faith in these areas. You know, I feel like everybody. You know, everybody's got different kinds of areas of faith that we need to exercise.
Yeah.
But we need to keep doing that, you know? We can't neglect that. Because that's the only thing that supposedly pleases God.
What?
That is people exercising faith in things that are absurd, kind of. To rational kind of thinking, I guess.
Oh man, that's a good feeling that I have, because all my faith, everything I believe in is God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that makes me feel good.
Yeah, and having that kind of belief is gonna help you to believe in the unseen.
Yeah.
And the things unseen. You know, yeah. Being able to believe in that and healing, to be able to walk and that kind of stuff of that nature, you know.
What a day it will be when I get walking.
Yeah, I'm sure it's gonna be, you know, it could be a time when that happens. That a lot of people are seeing a lot of crazy stuff happening for them as well.
Yeah.
Everybody's being transformed and...
Yeah.
Or maybe it will come, you know, before, you know, in sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
Or maybe that time is in the near future where everybody's going to be transformed. We just don't really know. And everybody is being made whole, you know. In a twinkling of an eye. I don't know. We don't really know.
Well, I just feel like this fucking, what do you call it?
Predicament?
Predicament
situation.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just think I just think it's just an area that you need to exercise faith in. Ultimately, that you need to keep holding, like you said, like I need to just keep on, you know, enduring, you know, so to speak. I need to keep on pressing on. You know, or what was the terminology that you called it? You need to keep... Well, to me, it was like, you know, anytime you get, you know, frustrated or whatever, you just have this feeling that you need to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, or something of that nature. You can't let it drag you down.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's what faith is. It's that same kind of a concept, you know, where we're just... We're willing to accept.
And some of that has to do with your personal self-confidence, too.
It could, yeah. You could definitely, like, deal with your own personal confidence in yourself. And because I think it is, like, there is a part of, like, faith that is... of your own confidence, that you're confident in yourself to be able to do what God is requiring you to do.
And there's no text that I know of that explains faith.
Faith, yeah, exactly. There is. There isn't that much, you know, that really explains it or...
I mean, it's mentioned a couple times in the Bible, but... Not a lot.
Not in depth.
Not in depth.
Yeah, at all. Yeah, and I think that that's... But ultimately, I think that faith is easily able to be understood in the sense that it's really about... you know, us just having the ability to believe in the absurd, kind of, and then acting upon it. You know, like when you're down and out, to believe that there's a reason to... keep moving forward and like not letting a difficult time or difficult situation define you or drag you down.
Keep you down.
Keep you down, yeah, exactly. You've got to rise above that.
You have to.
Yeah, and that's really faith. Faith is what propels one to do that act of letting it slide, so to speak. Letting that offense or that bad attitude or whatever to just...
slide by.
Yeah, just to move forward into the where you need to be, you know, which is a place of overcoming, you know. And confidence, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Because that's really what it's about. It's about being confident. Confident... in your own ability and in God as well.
Confident Lord.
Yeah, it's just confidence in the Lord. But you have to be willing to initiate the confidence. You can't be believing in God and still being bashful at the same time. You know what I mean? In faith. You know what I mean?
Yeah.